It's good to see all those who have been able to make it out this morning. Very appreciative of the elders. Allow me to present a portion of God's Word to you and encourage you to follow along, mostly probably on your phones, to check the verses. And if I have any issues or anything I say that's contrary to God's will, you'd be a friend of mine if you would point that out so that we might make sure that's right, correct, in God's sight. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jake kind of showed the four parts of a psalm. And if you never led songs for the last 5 months, we were getting pretty thin on what songs we could lead with you singing in unison. So when you hear all that come together, it's really a joyful sound. It's very very encouraging for us. So that being said, talk about blame game. And that's the title of my lesson today. And what it's going to talk about really is making excuses for why we don't do something, or making excuses of why I have inabilities. And I want you to kind of take this this first thought in mind. Professional basketball is kind of notorious for this, and I look at this as from a referee standpoint. Several times when I call a travel on a person, the player would look at me and say, "You know why I traveled? Because the kid pushed me." Every time, really? There wasn't anybody around you, but he pushed you. And a lot of times, if you look at there's also when a coach makes a comment to a player, they retaliate and say, "Well, you know what? If so and so would have run, he would have screened properly. We would have been fine. That play would have worked." A lot of times, it's because they didn't run the play properly. So when we look at this, a couple points to thinking about for yourselves is blaming others for your shortfalls. Conversations allude to other people causing your problems. We don't want to take the blame. And I've heard many people make comments, "That's how I am. That's my chemical makeup. You can blame my parents for that. That's what they give me. Or I can't stop doing it because I've always been able to do that, or I've always wanted to do that. But you know what? It was because so-and-so got me involved in this, and that's why I still continue to do that." God can help us overcome these issues, as we learn in Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So when you think about this, when somebody asks you of your shortcomings, do you feel that you're living a Christian life and maximizing it? Do you feel that you are in the right place because you continue to make excuses? If you look at this and you think about this yourself, some people, when they blame others, they don't even try to attempt to even rebuke that comment to them. They're continuously late for services. When you ask them, "I have all these things going on. I have all these things happening to me. I can't make it to services." Their temper's out of control. For years, honestly, I battled with this myself, is trying to subside his temper. You know why I'm upset? Because Rick keeps agitating me. If he wouldn't put that smile on at work, I'm going to tell you, this guy is Mr. Positive. Then you go in the next door down, it's Mr. Negative. And then you go in the back and it gets a little rougher sometimes. But we think about that. It's not something that I'm happy with. That's not what I want to be. But I'm not going to blame Jim for my actions. If you look at some other excuses, no interest in Christian studies. They avoid gatherings. I don't want to be around people because I don't feel comfortable around them. When they say home is in disarray, they don't want to have people over. Make excuses. "Well, we didn't have time to clean up." Constantly negative. They complain about everything. Some people make attempts. They have alcohol in their lives and they just continue to dabble with it. There's envy. There's strife, worry, worldliness. And these are all controllable. That's to say, if you really want to control them. But you have to make sure that you don't make excuse for why you don't want to take the responsibility of it. So first thing is this shifting blame. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." When I think about this shifting blame, it always comes back to the first parts of the Bible. When I think about Adam. And he comes back to Genesis 3:12, says, "The man said to the woman, you put here with me. She gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it. Right off the get-go, at the beginning of mankind, we see this blame game. If she wouldn't have given me the fruit, I would have been fine. You've heard that from multiple people, haven't you? Genesis 4:9 says, "And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it my problem? I'm going to blame somebody else. You know what? It ain't my responsibility. I don't know why they're not at services. I don't know why they're not coming to class." Well, it's your responsibility. You should know. This was Wesley's scripture reading, Luke 14, 16 through 20, not attending. Make every excuse under the sun for why they aren't able to make it. And if you look at the first two things in that, I think back to that passage of scripture. You think about it, the first two was like basically material things. I mean, the guy just basically bought something. Think you need to go check on it? When you buy something, and that's one thing for us, I want you to think about one thing. When you buy something new, you know what it happens to you a lot of times? You're consumed with it. You think about it all the time. Bought a car the other day, and you know what I'm doing out there? I'm wiping that thing off 3 times a day now. And I look out the 4th time, it's still got dust on it. I'm consumed by it. And that's why I think about this scripture. The first thing was material things. We have to watch ourselves that we don't get consumed by that. Luke 19, 20 through 21 says, his master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came to me and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth.'" And you think about that, the guy said, because this guy was a mean person. This guy had a lot of power and charge of things. And that's why it was his excuse. It's who he blamed for why he didn't take charge. He goes, "Well, you should have put it in the bank then. Got some interest for me." Make sure we take responsibility for what our inabilities are. Sometimes, though, we blame the environment. "I'm late because people, kids, mail, too rushed. It's too cold for church. Why are we having services tonight? It's freezing out. AC isn't working. I don't know how long ago it's been now, but I can remember next door. Remember the windows being open? How often that happened? I remember one night, I think it was the first time I ever spoke, the lights went off. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's a recommendation down the road to think about this, but you think about it. I never even thought really about it when it was 90 degrees in the building next door. And I bring that up because I remember sitting upstairs in our house with 2 other brothers in a room that's probably half the size of what my room and my bedrooms are in the house. And we had a window fan. And we really thought that window fan was something else. Because you know what? It was better than no fan. So think about it. A lot of times when you complain or you blame things for why you're not here, there is things in the background that you think supersedes your importance to God. I'm not having a covered dish because, like I mentioned, not clean. Small. It's expensive. I lost my cool because I've been sick or not feeling well. If I had as much money as him or her, I would have all these things. I would do these things for people. Why do we have so many gossip men? These days are the worst possible time. So I asked myself, I looked at my schedule the other day. Guess what date was the best time for gossip meeting? There isn't one in my schedule. I have something planned every single week. And I know everybody else out there, they got something planned. But what's important? John 17, 15 through 16 says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, that they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world." And the reason I bring this verse up is a lot of people says, you know what, we've got to stay away from the world. There was multiple men in the Bible. Paul, I mean, one of that prayed, "Lord, just take this from me. Take me out of this world. Get me out of this situation." But he left them in there. Because how do we promote God's will if we shun our light? How do we do that if we are not a resource for people to go to? If we hide behind everything? If we don't want to help somebody? We can't be that kind of person. A Christian stands up for God and we are a light of the community. You're going to be around the environment. You can't use it in a negative sense. our past. We blame our inabilities from things in the past, or either childhood things we were abused, or we were just basically tamed down. We weren't allowed to do anything. We had a relationship with other members or marital issues. We use that as a crutch or leverage of why we don't want to do something when asked. And this may be who you once were in life. That's not who you can be in the future. Philippians 2 and 12, just the verse before the one we just read. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. A lot of people want to blame Satan. And absolutely, he is the chief tempter for Christians, isn't he? But in reality is, we realize that God is more powerful. He will help us through these things. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with many temptations will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. One thing I've always thought that I probably have always kind of brushed through this verse, and I think a lot of us have, we think that that sin is going to be taken out of there. If you look at the last part of that verse, that you may be able to bear it. Megan had an issue with her feet. And she'd been battling this for a long time. I'd say a long time, longer than I knew her. And constantly her feet kept getting worse and worse, dried, and it just about drove her crazy. Finally, one doctor looked at it, and within a week, after 25 years or 30 years of misery, she'd been dealing with this issue. You've seen an instant improvement. That person diagnosed that, and they're saying, yeah, that's exactly what that is. And I'm not kidding, in a week. And I thought about this. We look at life, too, that I have a sin in my life, and if I ask God, He can get me through this. He will help you get through it, but you're going to bear some issues with it, aren't you? Because you know why? You think about this, it's kind of like sin. When you're in the water and you got a rock, you pick up this giant crater. You can move that rock everywhere in the water, can't you? That's kind of like when you're with sin. You're kind of used to it. But soon as you pull that rock up out of the water, and it's about twice your body weight, you going to move it anywhere? You ain't touching it. That water allows you to move that around there. And that's the kind of way you look at sin. As soon as you pull yourself away from it, it gets tough, don't it? Because the devil's trying to get you back in there. He's trying to get you back in that water. And make that sin so much easier for you. You can overcome it, but it's got to be your choice. So just fix the problem. We can focus. We have problems. And I want you to think about one thing. And I've heard people, and I bring this up because this has been myself at one time. I get upset because my children won't listen to me. Why? Why won't they listen to me? Well, there's a couple things. First thing, I get upset. That's me. That's Ty's problem. Second thing is, the children won't listen. Guess who that came back to? That's Ty's problem. That was my problem because I didn't make them listen. We have to watch when we make vague statements like this, because this is how we kind of blame others, our shortfalls, because we don't work at it hard enough. Until we understand that we have a problem, it's difficult to fix it, isn't it? We really have to take the responsibility, and you know, you got to take a step back and think, you know what? I do have an issue in my life, guys. I've battled with this. A lot of these lessons are right for myself, because I realize there's a lot of shortcomings that I have to work on and fix them. But I know what? I know a bunch of people else that I talk to that also deal with this. But God will help you examine the problem. He'll test you, He'll train you, and educate you. As found in 2 Corinthians 13:5, says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Also in Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to serve both good and evil. Now think about that as babes in Christ. And do you know what you do? And people always talk about how much education you have or how much you've grown in Christianity. And I think about a babe. You know babies, they're kind of like, when you talk about babies, what are you usually passing from person to person, don't you? They're usually just, they can't do things for themselves. And that's why you think about with people when they're babes. They're kind of different directions. If there's false doctrine, they're apt to kind of maybe go that direction because they're babes. They don't really know what's proper and what's not. And then what else does a babe do? Well, a baby, they get upset at anything, don't they? They cry and whatever. Same thing for us as babes in Christ. If we're not maturing and we're not getting any better, you know what? We're going to get upset and because we haven't worked on our patience. We haven't asked for guidance. This is a lot to do with solid being, is how we mature as Christians. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 4:25-32 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you... I got that blocked out. But I'm just going to go down to the last part of this, where it says 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we need to work on. If we can take this responsibility on ourselves, we won't blame others for our issues. But we have to learn to love that person. Make the commitment to change. As in James 1:2 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You have to work at it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You realize every person in here is growing older. But that doesn't mean we have to grow old in Christ. That doesn't mean we strengthen our spiritual bodies every single day. In conclusion, don't blame others for your lack of participation, your lack of commitment, your lack of your kids not attending Bible class, your lack of attending women's Bible study, your lack of attendance for you name it, whatever goes on. Because when worldly events supersede spiritual events, you have to re-examine yourself. All these things are things I want each and every person to think about in this auditorium today. So we have to serve God to the best of our ability to have the hope of heaven. As in Romans 14:12-13 says, so that each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to be a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And I think about that myself. A lot of times, I used to evaluate people. I'd evaluate Bob Dudley. I'd evaluate Carrie. I'd evaluate Mariah. I would evaluate Mike Stevens. And I would look at Cole Palmer and say, you know what, I think I'm doing better than them. And that's how I looked at a lot of things in life. And if I blame myself for my or blamed others, it was because, well, they did this to me. That's why I'm not where I need to be for this. And that's not what we are in life. That can't be us as Christians. We have to basically make our skin a little bit thicker than what the world is around us. You listen well. I told you I tried to keep my lesson short enough. For some of you, this is your first mass experience. And it's a little different, I can tell you that. But it's hard, tough to get used to. But I'll tell you what, I am very appreciative of your willingness to come and serve God today. Because there's a lot of things we could do to blame the outside environment for us not meeting together, isn't there? But you've chosen to come and serve God. And you've chosen to call in. And you've chosen to participate online. And we are so grateful for that. There's a lot of things in the environment right now that people are blaming others for, either our history or our government or our, and it's disgusting for us Christians to see that. We don't want any more corruptness to go on. Absolutely not. But we definitely don't want us not have the ability to serve God and not to teach our children and not to be able to promote Christianity growth. If you have a sin in your life that's basically that you blame for your inabilities and it's causing you not to serve God to the best of your ability, why not have the members pray for you this very day? But I can tell you one thing. If you've never become a child of God and you've never been baptized, when Judgment Day comes, you can't blame a single person in this building and in the world of why you didn't commit yourself to Christ. That's your decision. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you do not want to live in sin anymore and you want to change your life, we pray that you would come forward as we stand and sing.